For the next several weeks that I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, we're going to be in the book of James, chapter number 1. So I want you to go there with me in the Word of God, James chapter 1. I believe this is where God will have us be and where God has us right now as the people of God. James chapter number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Look at just a moment. The Holy Spirit of God will not just help you live the Christian life. He's the only way you're going to live the Christian life. You can't read passages like this and pull them off unless God does it through you. And you can't live the fulfilled Christian life unless you're living it the way God said. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. I forgot to wait for Derek. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible. Thank you for what we've already seen and heard. We sure love you. God, we need your help, but we need to heed what you're helping us with. Bind the devil, keep him from interfering. Move like only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This letter begins with the name James. He's the author of this letter. Ironically, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll study James' testimony, you'll study the family of Jesus. It's very clear that his siblings that grew up with him did not initially believe he was the Messiah. It was only later that James and others began to understand this is not just our brother, this is the Son of God. James became a pillar, a leader, a testimony. What great testimony one might have to be able to say, I grew up in a room with Jesus. So I take particular notice to James as he speaks in this letter. Of all the things that James could begin this letter by introducing himself with, he didn't say James the brother of Jesus. He didn't say James the apostle. He didn't say James the pillar of the church. He didn't say James the great leader. He didn't say James the one who had inside information on the Son of God. Listen to James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Your highest characterization as a person ought to be, I'm a servant of God. Not I'm a pastor, not I'm a deacon, not I'm a great soul winner, not I've been saved for this long, not I'm a great leader, not I'm a great exemplifier of the faith, not I'm someone to look up to, not I'm a great hero, not I'm a great giant in the Lord. No, no, no. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what our dear brother, the missionary, said. He said, there's no greater work I'd rather do than the work of God. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than serving God. I wonder if I have a few witnesses in the building today that would say, there's nothing I'd rather do than serve the Lord. There's no greater work than serving the Lord. Won't you pause right now and thank God that He lets you serve Him. Amen. That He lets you be involved in the work of God. There are some high caliber vocations. Good night alive. I haven't had one of those in a while. I guess I just need to concentrate on being a servant of the Lord. Amen. There are some high caliber vocations in the world that people can serve in. They get high clearance. They get high security. They get ranked pretty high. We're proud around here to have some colonels here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I like telling people I got some colonels in the church. Amen. Got some doctors in the church. Got some nurses in the church. Got some entrepreneurs in the church. Got a church member that just got promoted to work in the White House. I mean, put the pastor on the map. You know what I'm saying? We're moving on up. We got George and Weezy in the church. We got the Jeffersons in the church. What pastor can say, I pastor the Jeffersons? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of caliber in the world that you can brag on. I mean, you can get in some elite clubs. You can get a certain credit card that not so many people can get. You can get approved for some loans that not so many people can get. You can get accepted into some colleges, and parents are proud when my child gets accepted in this school and graduates with this degree and makes this dean's list. But I'm telling you something. When you climb up to this level in the Christian life, there is no higher to climb. I ain't talking about what job you work, what certification you have, what career you're in, what vocation you're known for, or what salary you make. I'm talking about being proud that every day I get to tell people I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how James begins this letter. Makes me want to listen because of the author. What about the audience? To the 12 tribes which are scattered. James is writing to the 12 tribes, the Jews that are living outside of Palestine. They were scattered. God had to scatter them. By the time Peter preached at Pentecost, he was preaching to men of different nations, different dialects, living outside of their promised land in spiritual decline. James spoke to Christian Jews. They were brothers in the flesh, but also brothers in the Lord. They were going through some things and dealing with some issues. They were having some problems of personal life, and they were having problems in church fellowship. Listen to some of them. They were impatient in their difficulties. They were talking their faith, but not walking their faith. They couldn't control their tongue. They were fighting, coveting. They were collecting toys. They were craving wealth for selfish purposes. They were persecuted. These were all things that existed among the people of God. They were worldly. They were disobedient. They were sick. They were straying from the Lord and from the church, all while being saved. Listen to me. Just because you act a fool don't mean you lose your salvation. Problems existing among the people of God. All of these problems stem from one root cause: spiritual immaturity. They were acting like babes in Christ. They'd been saved long enough to be grown, but there was a growth process that had been stymied. And their immaturity resulted in impatience. It resulted in a talk that didn't have a walk to back it up. It resulted in a tongue that couldn't be bridled. It resulted in people fighting and coveting and collecting toys and asking that they might consume it on their own lust. It resulted in wealth for selfish purposes. It resulted in disobedience and sickness and in backsliding. It resulted in a group of people that knew to do good but did not do it. Therefore, they were in sin. See, when you don't grow up in the Lord, you don't do what the Lord says. Because obeying the commandments of God requires spiritual maturity. And so James picks up his pen on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Gives us 5 chapters in this letter. And in so many words, is saying to the people of God these 2 words. Grow up. Grow up. You've been saved by the grace of God. Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James says that in chapter number 1. Aren't you glad that you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God? In other words, you didn't get born into the family of God because somebody slapped your head. You didn't get born into the family of God because somebody handed you an inheritance. You didn't get born into the family of God because you were baptized. You didn't get born into the family of God because you were catechized in some class. You were born into the family of God by the incorruptible word of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot be saved outside of the word of God. Somebody told you the word of God. The Holy Spirit ministered to you the word of God. You heard the word of God. But it's the word that reveals to you that you're a sinner. You're separated from God. That Jesus died on the cross. That he was buried and that he rose again. And that if you put your faith and trust in him, ask him to forgive you your sins, you can be born. born again. The greatest message that mankind needs to hear is not the Constitution, not some political thing, not some campaign speech, not some news. We don't need new innovation. We don't need new legislation. That's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing mankind can hear is the precious truth of the Word of God. James is giving it. Inspiration of the Word of God, telling the people of God to grow up. One of the ways that spiritual maturity was going to be accomplished in God's people was through trials. Trials were going to come, unavoidable, undeniable, and unpleasant at times. No individual loves trials, hastens to trials. No one craves trials. No one calls to heaven and says, God, I haven't had a trial lately. What's going on? Would you hurry up and send me one? Nobody runs to the church house, running to the pulpit and saying, may I please share a testimony about how many trials I have right now. I'm just so excited that I'm going through trials. I lost my job today. Hoorah! I just got told that somebody in my family has sickness. I'm excited about it. I just had somebody that I love that went home to be with the Lord, and I'm just so happy about it. I just had a rebellious child. I just had a marriage that's falling apart. I just went through a difficulty. I just went to the doctor and he gave me back. Nobody's excited about that. And yet, the author James, writing to the audience, the people of God, is going to give an admonition that all of us need to hear. My brethren. So from the get-go, we know he's talking to saved folk. Aren't you glad you're a brother? You're a sister. Amen? Hey, I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are family. Yes, we're in the family of Almighty God. Somebody praise the Lord. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, my brethren. What I'm about to say, James says, cannot be accomplished in those that are not saved. Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. I want to give you just something to ponder today, and then we'll spend weeks in this passage. Count it all joy. What do you mean, divers temptations? The word divers literally means various, diverse, different, multicolored or multivariegated. In other words, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings or trials. Here's what James says. When different kinds of trials come, how many when you thought that you had mastered every kind of trial you could master, another different one came along. All right, now, here's what James says. When various trials come, financial trials, physical trials, marital trials, emotional trials, family trials, all kinds of trials that come in. You have trials on your job and trials in your home and trials with your friends and trials with your relationship. And when you think that you can't find another kind of trial, somehow another trial shows up in your life. When these various trials come into your life, he says, when ye fall, the word fall literally means to encounter. When you encounter, when you go through various or different kinds of testing and trials, here's what James says by admonition. Count it all joy. The word count is an economical term. It literally means to evaluate. Now listen, when you evaluate something, you go into an area, look at what you have, and to count it is to give it value, to determine what it's worth, to decide how you will view it. And he said, count it joy. No, he didn't say count it joy. He said, count it all joy. What do you mean? James, you mean tell me, when I walk into various diverse trials, when I am tested beyond what is pleasant, you're telling me that I should evaluate these circumstances in my life as altogether joy? What is joy? Pleasure. fulfillment, excitement, glee. James, what are you saying? I'll tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying that you should love trials. He's not saying that you should ask God to send you trials. He's not saying that trials will be pleasant. He's not saying that trials will be enjoyable. He's not saying that trials will be joyous. What he is saying, that when you go through it, you've got to be spiritual enough to let God live through you, that you evaluate the process, although individually unpleasant, that you evaluate the totality of the process based on what God sees and not what you see. From where I am, this is horrible. This is bad. I need out of it. I need money. I need my job. I need a clean bill of health. I need to quit hurting. I need this to change. I need him to act right. I need her to act right. I need him to leave. I need her to come back. From my perspective, I'll be glad when this thing is over. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When is the morning coming? And some of you are thinking, I need this to be gone. James says, that's how it looks like from here. But the child of God has to see it the way God sees it. And when I begin to understand that this trial is bigger than I can see, it's bigger than I can understand, there's a purpose that God is working in me. There's a process that God is doing in me. There's a perfection that God is working around me. And when I begin to understand, not from where I see it, but from where God sees it, I may not like being broke. I may not like being ridiculed. I may not like being sick. I may not like being abandoned. I may not like being betrayed. I may not like being rebelled against. I may not like going through some things that I would never pick for myself. But if I can learn some things about the one who is picking for me, despite of what I think, how I feel, and what others say, I can look at it not from up here, but not from down here, but from up here. And despite an unenjoyable situation, I can evaluate my life as all joy. I would ask you this morning, if you're going through any trials, but I don't have to ask you. I already know. By the way, if you're going through them, rest assured, so is everybody else. I heard people say, I wish my life was like that person. They don't go through nothing. No, they don't just broadcast theirs like you do. Everybody goes, watch it, count it all joy. Look at the verse. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Not if. Count it all joy. It's coming. It's coming. Pastor, I don't want to come here on a Sunday morning for you to tell me I'm going to go through trials. You're going to go through them even if I don't tell you. So some people say, don't say that. Don't speak that. If you speak that, it's going to come about. Listen to me. Stop worrying about what somebody's going to speak to come about, and worry about when it does come about, you know what to do with yourself. I'm telling you that the trials don't have to steal your smile. I'm telling you that trials don't have to steal your joy. I'm telling you, you can enjoy God when you're going through financial crisis. I'm telling you can enjoy God when I'm telling you that some of the most enjoyable times in my life have been the times of the deepest trial. But it cannot happen unless you count it all joy. Now watch this now. God is going to do his part no matter what you face. But whether you have joy in your trials has to do not with God's part, has to do with your... See, if you don't have joy in your trials, you got problems with your evaluating. You don't know how to count. Preach, pastor. The child of God better learn how to count. And if you think you only have to know how to count when things are going well, you'd be amazed at how fuzzy your math will get when trials come. My brethren, the longer it takes for Jesus to come back, the more varied, diverse, and different our trials will be. But in the name of Jesus, from an author that was a servant of God to an audience of people that are struggling and scattered, I give you this admonition in the midst of your trials. Count it all joy. Our Father, I pray that you help us. For what we're facing. Sometimes we feel like the psalmist where we'd like to just take wings and fly away. And yet you force us to endure. You extend our time in crisis. We're praying, we're begging, we're pleading, we're doing our part, and yet some things don't seem to change. We're going to have to learn how to live in this. And I pray that James will teach us how this verse is actually possible. Thank you for joy that nobody can take from us. In the world, Jesus said, ye will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Pastor, I'm saved and I know, and I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you put your hand up? I'm saved. I know it. I know I'm going to heaven. God bless you all over the building. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm going through some kind of trial and I need to learn from God's word how to count it all joy. I need it. I need it. I need God's help in this area. Would you put your hand up all over the building? God bless you. God bless you all over. Well, we're going to go through it together with the help of the Lord. Last question as you lower your hand. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Listen to the question again. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, anybody like that, I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that at all, Pastor? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I do not want to go to hell. Would you let me pray for you? Just hold your hand up, anybody like that. I can't tell if I see a hand or not. No, no. Anybody at all? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? God bless you for those hands. We'd be glad to talk with you about salvation. Our workers will be available so they can explain it to you, especially with these young people. I want somebody to be able to talk one-on-one with you as opposed to speaking to you generally from the pulpit. I want to make sure that you clearly understand. Aren't you glad that children can get saved? Yeah. I was 4 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior. As long as there's an ability to understand, we know there's ability to save. To the people of God, let's get our counting right. Don't tell people you don't have joy because of what you're facing. No, you don't have joy because of how you're counting. We have to learn how to do better evaluating. Better counting. Now, Lord, I pray that you help us speak to our hearts. Make a difference like only you can. And remind us that in trials we can count it all, the whole process, joy, all of it. Not for the trial itself, but for what is being accomplished through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us as we learn from the song that your strength is perfect when our strength is gone. We love you and we bless you. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God the praise for being in